If you're chasing data down instead of seeing it in one place, you need the Intuit ERP. Intuit Enterprise Suite. All your data in one place with built-in AI for real-time insights. Learn more at intuit.com/ERP.
Aging is real, and so are the benefits of adding vital proteins, collagen, peptides to your daily routine. Because around the age of 30, your body needs backup to keep your collagen up to help support healthy hair, skin, nails, bones, and joints. Available in the classic collagen peptides, collagen and protein shakes, and new Vital Proteins Collagen Sparkling Waters, so you can stay vital, stay you. Visit vitalproteins.com to learn more and where to buy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Get a full body reset anywhere you go with Dr. Teal's Magnesium Spray. It's a concentrated magnesium blend of pure Epsom and Dead Sea salts, all bundled up in a convenient on-the-go bottle. A few quick sprays will relax your body and mind and keep you feeling recharged all day long. It's wellness you can feel, and you can find it in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teal's. Yep, you needed that.
A noisy garage door is a cry for help. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Door Service. Most repairs are simple, but if left untreated, they can turn into costly repairs. Your garage door works hard every day, and a little maintenance goes a long way. We fix garage doors fast with quality parts designed to last a lifetime. Over 90,000 five-star reviews don't happen by accident. They happen by putting people first. Fixing your garage doors is what we do. From repairs to upgrades, call Don's Garage Door Service today.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
This picture right behind me, it's on a GoFundMe right now that has been put out by Kendra Duggar's father. You'll notice suspiciously missing. Are Kendra and Joseph from this picture. And the GoFundMe, which is linked, by the way, in the description, says, my family is facing a difficult and urgent situation. We are in need to cover displacement expenses. We will not be using these funds for our legal expenses. Thank you all so much for your care, concern, prayers, and donations during this difficult time. Thank you, even if it's just prayer. Your support means the world to us as we work to rebuild and find safety. This is a family that's going through hell right now. And we don't have all the details confirmed or anything like that. There's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of rumors. There's a lot of stuff going on. And you can find a lot of information about it online. If the allegations are correct, and they are allegations, and we can't confirm them, I'm repeating the scuttlebutt that I've been seeing on the internet and certain sources reporting. It appears as though they are being removed from their housing by a certain family that has 19 children. There's even joked about in a phone call between Joseph and Kendra. Because, you know, joking about kicking your family and all of your siblings out of their home seems like appropriate while your husband is being brought up on charges of doing inappropriate things with the child. The child, as we all know, allegedly, I'd be very, very close to that family. Might be, allegedly. We don't know. All this being said, all this chaos that is surrounding this family, the Duggar family, and Kendra's family, because that's who I'm looking at this more than anything else, is this woman who's trapped in this back and forth. And it's a battle for her mind right now. That's why you're seeing love bombing going on into an insane level with the Duggars on her. And why there's a rift in the families, and in my opinion, and why there's a rift between her. It's a battle for her and who she's going to side with ultimately. And it's not necessarily for her well-being or the well-being of her children, in my opinion, to stay with the family that has the son, that has her husband, that has the accusations against him. That doesn't make any sense. It's not good for her. It's not good for her children. It's not good for anybody other than them. Other than them. Other than them not having another person that's out of the gate and spilling the beans on what the hell goes on behind their compound gates. It's not in their interest. And I guess I understand that. I mean, but it's also not morally or ethically or godly or anything right to try and control somebody and their truth and their reality for your own protection. That's weaponizing, especially when you mix God into it. This is what the Lord would want. This is your being unfaithful, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's the levers of coercive control that this family has used for many years. And I think Kendra Duggar is starting to see it, allegedly, in my opinion, on everything there. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing for her. It's a good thing for her kids to break this cycle that appears to be rearing its head again in the Duggarville. So I thought I'm going to write a letter directly to Kendra, and I'm going to read it here for you. It's written in the hope that somewhere, someone in her circle will put it in front of her, or that she'll find it herself, or that one piece of honest writing aimed at one person might do what 1,000 news cycles have not done. I'm not here to analyze it. I'm not here to, I mean, we do that in other videos. This is just a human to a human who's seen a lot of this sort of crap go on, and people be bamboozled this way or love bombed that way or controlled this way into doing not the right thing for them or their children or humanity or the goodness of anything, but to protect an image. And that's never the right thing to do, is to be doing something that is morally incorrect to protect someone else's image who is immoral. So Kendra, this is for you. And if you know her, if you're close to her, share this with her. This is not a judgment on her. This is simply, hey, I don't know you, but here's what I have seen, and here's some thoughts. Let me open up your mind a little bit beyond just what you are getting, and this is not just another piece of media that's here to scream at you and say, what are you doing? Like, oh, we get it. You know, you know, nobody likes to be screamed at, and so here you go. I don't know when you're going to read this or hear this or see this, Kendra. I don't know if you ever will. I don't know who will put it in front of you or whether the person who does will be someone you will trust. So I'm going to write this like it's only for you, because that's the truth of what it is. This is for the part of you that wakes up at 3 a.m. with a thought you can't say out loud. You know the one. Comes when the house is quiet, when whoever is watching you isn't watching, when the people who have been telling you what to think, and you know who they are, and what to feel, and what to pray, aren't close enough to hear you. In that silence, you know there's a thought. And you've been working very hard for a very long time to push it down. And look, there's nothing to be ashamed of there, but we know it's happening. You know it's happening. I can hear it in your phone calls. Everybody can. I'm not going to tell you what the thought is. You already know. I'm only going to tell you this. It's not the devil. It isn't. They're going to tell you it's the devil. It's an evil thought. It's intrusive. It's telling you things that aren't what we want you to believe. It's not the devil. It's not the enemy trying to shake your faith. It's not a test God is putting you through. It is not doubt sent to ruin you. That voice, that small, quiet one that keeps showing up no matter how many times you find a way to distract yourself or silence it, it is you. It is the part of you they haven't been able to reach. And I am speaking to her right now, to you, the real you. You are young. You have been taken into a fold of people that you trusted, and you have had beautiful children. And you thought, you know, for a while there, this is a good life. Not without its hiccups, I'm sure, but everybody at that age. I was young too. I got married young too. Wasn't this anywhere near the same sort of situation? But I can relate. When you're young, you are full of hope and promise and this and that, and it should work out this way. And if It doesn't. Oh, gosh. I'm here to tell you. The best chapters of life are after some of those years. And it doesn't seem like it at that moment in time. I know. But after you get through some of those hiccups, those mistakes in life, and we all make them. And sometimes they're relationships, sometimes they're marriages, sometimes they're people that you have children with. It doesn't erase the beauty or the wonder of those children or how the goodness of them. It's a chapter of your life that you entered into, and you have folks now, you have kids that are going to be with you for the rest of yours. It is your job going forward to do everything in your power through whatever chapters of the book and the choose your own adventure you go down to protect them. Not an image, not a family name, not some jackass that has two first names. It's protecting your kids. And you know that. You already know that. But there's a lot of folks out there who are going to bamboozle this and they're going to mix in that name. And their interest is protecting themselves, not you. Before I say another word, I need you to hear this. You were 19 years old when you married Joseph. 19. You were a child. I know they tell you, oh, you're a grown, like, anybody in 19 is still a child. Like, I thought I was grown too. Like, everybody does. You were a child. You'd been raised in a closed religious system your whole life, and you walked into an even more closed one because you were told it was what God wanted, and because you were in love, nothing about that was informed consent. Nothing about that was, you should have known better. You were doing exactly what you'd been trained from birth to do, and you were doing it with an open, faithful heart. Whatever you are carrying, whatever guilt you are carrying right now, whatever they are telling you is your fault, whatever you are telling yourself in the middle of the night, at least some of it, maybe most of it, is not yours to carry. Some of it was done to you. You have the right to know that, even if nobody around you wants you to know that. I'm not writing this to accuse you. I am writing this because I believe you are a person, not a villain, and because I think the people who are most responsible for the state of your life right now have spent years making sure you don't know the difference. And you're probably going, I don't. What are you talking about? It's okay. Kendra, I'm going to say something now that I need you to really hear, not defend against. You already know. You know what you saw in your own home. You know what you heard. You know what your body did when certain things were said to you. You know what it felt like to look at your children and feel something you weren't allowed to name. You know the moments when you almost called your mother and stopped yourself because you'd been told your family was a threat. You know the first time someone you had loved your whole life started to feel like a stranger, and you didn't know if it was them changing or you being taught to see them differently. None of that was your imagination. None of it was sin. None of it was the enemy whispering in your ear. That was you watching your own life and being told over and over that what you were seeing wasn't really there. These feelings of, maybe I should get out of this. Maybe this doesn't feel right. Oh, no, it's okay. It's like, it's not okay. No matter how joyful one speaks, I do not know everything you've been through. I'm not going to pretend to do. But I spent a long time paying attention to what happens to women in systems like this, the one you're inside, and there are patterns. I'm going to name them. Not to label you, not to put you in a box, but because sometimes when you can see the shape of a thing, you can stop mistaking it for weather. Here's what I see when I look at this from the outside, and many others do as well. I see a woman who was taught gently at first and then not gently at all. That her own family was dangerous. That the mother and father who raised her, who loved her, who still love her, were a threat to her marriage, her faith, to her children's souls. I see a woman who was told what to read and what not to read, what to listen to, what to believe, whose world of friendships and conversations was quietly trimmed down over years until the only voices left in it were the ones that agreed with whatever she was being told that week. I see a woman who was made to feel that doubt was sin, that questions were weakness, that quiet voice telling her something was wrong was the enemy trying to pull her out of God's will. I see a woman who, when the crisis came, was not allowed to run to people who actually loved her because the people she loves had long since been framed as a problem. I see a woman whose husband has been accused of something terrible, something a child said happened, something that, according to the arrest affidavit filed in Florida, he twice admitted to, once to the child's father, who may be very close to you, and you know that, and then on a phone call monitored by law enforcement. He, of course, as you know, has entered that not guilty plea, which, if he confessed to this, if he did, that would be a lie. That would be a sin. And like every accused person in this country, he is presumed innocent until a court of law says otherwise. But if he's already confessed on tape, he's confessed on tape. I don't have the tape, but that's what the report is. So, I mean, innocent until proven guilty. But I think we all know what's going on here. But Kendra, you were there. You lived in that house. You know what you know. No legal process, no matter how it ends, is going to unsee what you already saw. And no prayer, no matter how sincere, is going to turn the thing you felt into something you didn't feel. That is not how God works. That is not how the human heart works. That is the part of you that has been trying to tell you the truth is the part of you that has been telling you the truth. What you are being offered right now by the people surrounding you isn't protection. It's containment. And the people doing it have a word for it. They call it family. In every other setting in the world, the other folks watching this, we would call it something else. It's a word called coercive control. But when you dress it up as something else and you never explain to anybody what real family is versus what coercive control is. Some families rule by this control over others, by this is what your opinion's going to be, and this is why, and this is how. Why? Because I'm the authority and God tells me so. I have news for you. No one is speaking to God and having a one-on-one conversation back and forth. You can pray. That's one way. Anyone who's telling you they are hearing voices and the Lord is instructing them to do very, very specific things is lying to you. They are. They're just lying to you. They may think they're doing, but that's not how any of this works. And it's not to denigrate anybody's faith or say you can't have it or say it's not real. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying people who are telling you things that go against the instincts in your body, the instincts to run, the instincts to protect your children, to get out of this situation, and they're telling you not to do that because it's something involving the Lord. That ain't the Lord. I want to talk about your father for a minute, not because I know him. I don't. At some point, and this is not a secret, people who were there have talked about it very openly. Your father was asked to read something your sister-in-law, Jill, had written about how the family she married into was being treated. And when he read it, he did not do the politically safe thing. He didn't pretend to agree with what the people in power around him wanted him to agree with. He told the truth. He said what he thought was unfair. he said what he believed was exploitation. And by all publicly reported accounts, he may have lost everything for it, or he may be now losing everything for it. Hence the GoFundMe. His church, his income, his housing, his reputation in the community he had helped build. He watched the ground go out from under his family because he wouldn't allegedly lie for a force that expected him to. Again, control. Control being used as a weapon. Intermingled with religious words to make it seem as if it's something greater than the man that is executing them. It can't be this person, but it's divine. It's from God. And you'll see when people start using that and people start going overboard with that sort of phrasing and structuring of the way that they pitch things to you and explain things, you'll find a lot of people in your life have bamboozled you, have lied to you, have tried to control you in ways that they shouldn't, that was very self-serving under the guise of God. Again, I'm not saying anything bad about God or Jesus or your religion, anything. I'm saying it about man who uses it to control, claiming that they have some sort of knowledge, claiming that they have some sort of control, some sort of extra power because they have a certain appendage between their legs. And this is a part I want you to sit with here. He did not change his story. Even after it cost your dad almost everything, even when it would have been so much easier to take it back and make peace, he seems to allegedly have stayed with the truth, because the truth was all he had left. It was his. Kendra, that's your father. That's the man who raised you. Again, I don't know him and I don't know you, but I know you love him and he loves you, and so does your family. That backbone, that refusal to bend when bending would be easier, especially if what happened to your family, and not just turning the other cheek and saying, oh, it's okay. That backbone, the refusal to bend when bending would be easier, that is in your blood too. Whatever they have told you about him over the last few years, that he's bitter, and I don't know, this is just my speculation, that he turned on the family, that pride cost him his ministry. I'm sure you've been told a lot of things to control you to believe a certain way. Your father did the hardest thing a person can do inside a closed system. He told the truth when it cost him everything, and he's got to go fund me now for him and the rest of your family to live somewhere safely. Here's what I want you to understand. God did not give you a father like that so you could live a quiet life pretending you don't see what's in front of you. Father like that is a gift. He's proof that the thing inside of you, the instinct, the knowing, the voice you've been told to silence, is not from the enemy. It is from the man who raised you. It is from the God he taught you about. It was given to you on purpose, and you have been taught to distrust it by people who could not afford for you to trust it. I want to talk about your children now, not to guilt you, not to weaponize them against you. I am sure you have enough of that in every direction right now. I want to tell you something true about what they need. They do not need a grandmother. They do not need an aunt. They do not need the state. They do not need a perfect mother who says the right things. What they need, what only you in the entire world can give them, is a mother who chooses them. Not a mother who stayed silent to keep the peace. Not a mother who let other people speak on her behalf. A mother who looked at what was happening and said, I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to fight for my children. And I'm going to accept every consequence that comes with it. Because that is what being a mother means. Your children are 3, 5, 6, and 7. They're going to remember what happens next. They will not remember the press cycles. They will not remember the court filings. They will not remember the names of any of the people telling you what to do right now. They will remember whether, when it mattered most, their mother showed up for them or disappeared into someone else's story about itself. A myth, a legend, a television show that failed. With one sad, aging, failing man clawing to keep control of the chaotic system he crafted. You still have time to be the mother they are going to remember, but only if you stop letting other people write that story for you. I'm going to tell you what leaving Ashley looks like, because I do not think anyone around you is telling you the truth about this. And I think maybe we'll do another video on that. What leaving looks like. A guide for Kendra Tugger. I'll do it. I'll do the work. I will put together one for you, and I will do a story on it. And it can be two birds with one stone. It's a guide that you could use, but really anybody could use if they're trying to get out of a situation like this. I'm going to do it. Because there's just a world of criticism out there of everything, but not a lot of actionable pieces. Let's make another act. We'll do that. Okay, so that's coming soon. I promise you. That's going to be on my list this week to get done. I want to talk here about what leaving looks like. It does not look like the end of the world. It does not mean losing God. It does not mean your children grow up hating you. It does not mean you spend the rest of your life alone. It does not mean your eternal damnation or anything insane like that. Those are the stories I'm sure you've been told to keep you in place. And they are not true. They've never been true. They are the stories every closed system tells the people inside it, because fear is the only thing strong enough to keep a person from walking towards daylight. They are therapists who specialize in helping women leave high-control religious environments. They exist because there's been a lot of other women just like you. You're not alone. They're trained exactly for this. They understand what happened to you, and they will not judge you for it. One of my good friends who I have on this very show every single week was in a very similar position to you at a young age. She got out, lives a totally different life now. Happy, successful, children love her. They're adults. She escaped, and she did it for them. Now it's your turn. There are advocates and there are attorneys, real ones, not the ones chosen for you, who help women in your exact situation navigate custody and criminal matters without being told what to say by their in-laws. There are women who have walked out of situations that look just like yours and are now on the other side, raising their children in peace. Some of them have names you would recognize. Some of them you will never meet, but they are out there. They are real, and they would help you. Your parents' home is still your parents' home. Even if the physical address may be changing, your mother is still your mother. Your siblings are your siblings. The family you came from did not vanish. It is waiting. And I believe, based on everything I can see from the outside, that it would take them about 5 seconds to open the door. You do not need a plan. You do not need to know every step. You do not need to solve the whole thing tonight. You only need to do one thing. Tell one person in your life who is not connected to the family you married into that you need help. Your mother, your father, a sibling, a therapist, an attorney, a friend from before, anyone. Say the words one time. After that, other people start carrying pieces of it for you. That is how this works. That is how every woman who has ever gotten out of a situation has experienced. Not with a perfect plan, with one honest sentence and one safe person. Not writing this to shame you, Kendra. I'm writing this because I believe that somewhere in the last few months, you started to see it. I think we heard it in some of your phone calls, the cracks, the things that do not add up, the way the people telling you not to worry seem to need you to not worry a little too much. The moments when something feels wrong and you cannot say why and when, then somebody tells you it. It is because you're not praying enough. The voice inside you that keeps saying, something is wrong here, before you can push it back down. I don't know you, I won't claim to, but I've watched enough of these stories to know that the voice is almost always right. And the women who survive, the ones who get their children back, the ones who rebuild, the ones who eventually look into the mirror and recognize themselves again, or maybe see themselves for the first time, are the ones who stopped calling that voice the enemy and started calling it by its real name. It is you. It is the Kendra Caldwell who existed before any of this began. It is the daughter of a man who told the truth when it cost him everything. It is the sister of people who are still waiting for you. It is a woman your children are going to need in every year of the rest of their lives. She's still in there. She did not die. She did not leave. She got quieter because you were told over and over that her voice was dangerous. But she is in there. And she already knows what to do. You just have to stop apologizing to everyone else long enough to hear her. You were not put on this earth to protect a family that does not protect children. You were put on this earth to be the mother of your own. That is the only loyalty that matters now. And choosing it is not a betrayal of God. I believe with everything in me, it is the thing God has been trying to show you all along. Whatever you decide, whatever happens next, I hope this reaches the part of you that already knows that. Listen to her, Kendra. She is the only voice in this that is actually yours. That's the letter. Not going to say anything else about it. Adding to it would only get in the way. If it reached the part of Kendra it was meant to reach, it did its job. If it did not, if she never sees it, or if she sees it and she's not ready yet, then it waits. Letters can wait. Here's what I'll ask of you. If you know Kendra, or if you know someone close to her who still has her trust, and you believe this is something she should see, share it. The full text is on her Substack. And if you want to contribute at all to this situation, to the Caldwells, to her father and her family, who's apparently going through a housing crisis. That might or might not be retaliatory. We don't know. We can't confirm that. But again, there's a lot of information out there on the internets. The link for that that GoFundMe is in the description here of this post. All right. That's out there now. It's into the universe. Hopefully, for the sake of those children, somebody's voice prevails and is able to rescue Kendra and her kids from the Duggars. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. Cults, Hidden Killers Investigates. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
IBLP's doctrine, how the teachings were engineered to create obedience, silence, and control. That's what we're getting into in this piece. It's part two in our series. Be sure to press subscribe if you've not already done so, and leave us your thoughts in the comments as we work through this. A young woman walks into her pastor's office. Picture this. She sits down, tells him that her father has been physically abusing her. Not once, not a bad day, but consistently for years. This is the bravest thing she has ever done. She has spent her entire life inside of a system that told her the man hurting her was placed over her by God, and that questioning his authority was the spiritual equivalent of stepping into a special effect here.
Satan's territory.
Seriously, you question this? You bring this up? You point out somebody's been doing these things to you, and guess what? Guess where you are, young lady?
Satan's territory.
It's all by design. Can't question authority. She went anyway. She told the truth. She sat in that chair and said the words out loud. The pastor's response? And if you really want to get into Satan's territory, it's the words of the pastor. The abuse was the result of her not being submissive enough. So let's do this one. Let's play this game. So we were just joking, like,
it's Satan's territory.
Tell you what, walking into that pastor's office was Satan's territory. Because you have the pastor literally saying, after she goes, my father's been doing this to me for all these years. I don't know what to do. This feels horrible. What should I do?
You're not being submissive enough.
Does that sound like a pastor or Satan? Just saying. Might be Satan. I feel kind of church lady-ish here. It's not a failure of one pastor. That's the system working exactly as it was designed to work. And to understand how a response like that becomes not just possible, but predictable, you have to understand what the Institute and Basic Life Principles actually taught. Not the sanitized version on the website or the little nuggets you saw on TLC with the Duggars, but the operational doctrine that governed the daily lives of millions of people. She grew up inside the IBLP. She knew the umbrella of authority, that diagram by heart. It was taught to her before she could read a chapter book. I bet they do coloring books on it. God sits at the top. Underneath God is the husband and the father. Underneath him is the wife and the mother. Underneath her are the children. Each layer is an umbrella. The teaching says that if you just stay under your umbrella, you are protected from harm. Nothing can happen to you, especially if your mom talks like this. If something bad happens to you, one of two things are wrong. Either you stepped out from under your umbrella, or the umbrella above you had a leak, meaning someone in authority over you was harboring secret sin, and their spiritual failure exposed you to damage. But it's still your fault if you talk about it. You got to forgive that secret sin because, you know, it's secret. Notice what's missing from that equation? The perpetrator, the person who actually caused the harm, the umbrella framework in it, that person doesn't exist as a central problem. The problem is always structural, a failure of positioning, a failure of obedience, a failure of spiritual alignment, which means the victim is always the variable. The system adjusts its focus downward, never up. The person harmed is always the one who needs to recalibrate. This isn't a side teaching. This is the foundation. Everything IBLP built, the shit these people still follow, from its marriage doctrine to its courtship rules to its dress codes to its medical advice to its homeschool curriculum, flows in this single premise. Authority is God-given, absolute, and must not be questioned. Challenge it, and you're not disagreeing with a person. You, my friend,
are disagreeing with God.
Who really, incidentally, in the IBLP group seems to resemble Satan more than God. Just Satan seems to be resembling God. I mean, maybe you got the wrong God here. Like, are we talking about, like, up in heaven, Jesus, God, that sort of thing? Or are we, because this doesn't really sound like him. From everything I've read, the books, the movies, you know, the bestseller, the Bible, that's just, you know, it sounds very Old Testament-y. But even there, he wasn't doing shit to kids. At least not like this. Bill Gothard codified this into 7 basic life principles. Design, authority, responsibility, suffering, ownership, freedom, and success. But authority dominates. It's the principle around which all the others orbit. And his interpretation of authority wasn't just conservative. It was total. Within the IBLP family, the husband's word was final. His authority over his wife was described as God-given and non-negotiable. IBLP materials explicitly stated that a wife must respect her husband's position regardless of his deficiencies. Is that what we're calling it now?
Deficiencies.
The organization's published teachings on marriage went further. God grants spouses full access to each other's bodies for gratification, and wives were warned against resistance or indifference to a husband's need for physical intimacy. So basically it says, he can argue, and it's what
God wants.
Again, this doesn't sound like God to me. This just doesn't seem to line up. I know they keep saying this is like godliness. I don't know. Kind of reminds me of a place with flames. In the IBLP framework, the wife's body is not her own. What a great environment to raise your young daughters in, Kendra. That's a sick thing with some people. They grow up, and I'm not saying this about Kendra, but I'm saying this about kind of as a general statement. There's a sickness in adults that sometimes just because we went through something as children, some sort of abuse, trauma, whatever it may be, and then rather than try to protect our children from it, some people are like, well, I did it. You can suffer through it too. It builds character, or bullshit like that. It's a real sadomasochistic way of raising children. But a lot of people do it. And when you apply the framework of IBLP to it, well, then it makes it
godly.
Under their definition of God. Consistent within marriage is not a concept, or consent rather. Consent within a marriage is not a concept the doctrine acknowledges. It's not a thing. So if you can't name it, well, it can't be a sin then, right? That's how they take, just remove certain language, certain words out of the vernacular, certain concepts. They just don't exist. You play stupid. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about, Judge. If you just take little lapses, it's like inserting memory lapse, inserting amnesia, where you can conveniently say this, and it's part of your religion, to deflect accountability. It's really kind of amazing. Resistance is framed as a spiritual failing, not a fight. So if you're resisting, no. That's not a, a preference. It's not a cultural preference. That's a theological erasure of bodily autonomy inside the institution that's supposed to be the safest place a woman will ever be. And it was printed into official materials, distributed to families, and taught as God's design for the marital relationship. For the girls and young women raised inside the system, identity was constructed almost entirely around purity and future usefulness to a husband they hadn't met yet. The dress code was granular to the point of obsession. No pants, ever. Skirts had to fall below the knee, no sleeveless tops, no long necklaces because they could draw the eye downward towards the body. Hair had to be styled in specific, approved ways. A female body was described as an eye trap. Something that, if not properly managed and covered, could cause the man to stumble spiritually. And then they blame the woman. What a lovely religion. The responsibility for male desire was placed entirely on the woman's appearance and behavior, not the man's inability to control his own goddamn self. That framing doesn't just control what someone wears. It rewires how a girl sees herself at the deepest level. She doesn't learn that her body belongs to her. She learns that her body is a liability, a source of potential sin for someone else, a threat that must be neutralized through concealment. Her worth is measured by how effectively she disappears into modesty, how little space she takes up, how little disruption she causes by existing in a room with men. And the ultimate measure of her value is her ass purity, which is treated not as a personal boundary, but as a communal asset to be preserved and eventually transferred to a husband through a courtship process controlled entirely by her father. How romantic. The courtship system is one of the most effective control mechanisms the IBLP deployed. Traditional dating was forbidden. A young man interested in a young woman had to approach her father, not her, and request permission to begin a courtship. The father had full veto power. The couple was never to be alone together. Physical contact was prohibited. A chaperone accompanied them everywhere. And here's the part that did the deepest psychological damage. IBLP also taught emotional purity, meaning that having romantic feelings for someone without your father's explicit blessing was itself a form of spiritual failure. This is weird. Why is dad getting involved in the daughter's romantic feelings towards somebody under the IBLP umbrella of joyousness? That seems a bit weird. Because the last thing most of us healthy fathers want is anything in that world. We don't want to have anything to do with when our daughters are of age to be part of their romantic feelings towards somebody. You're dad. You're over here. I'm not part of that circle. Just like I don't want my daughter part of my romantic feelings for my partner either. They're separate. They live in their own worlds. You couldn't even feel something without permission. Your heart was under the umbrella too. And I guess you got to go talk about those feelings with dad. Now, that's not uncomfortable or weird or creepy or anything. One survivor described the courtship process as entering a transaction she had no power to negotiate. Her father chose a man. Her father set the terms. Her role was to be presented, evaluated, and transferred like a piece of meat. You know, like God says, treat thine daughter like meat. She's an object to be lusted after, but only if you get the permission of dad. And then only after you get married. Then after that, fuck like rabbits. That's kind of how it seems to work here in the IBLP. She was not a participant in her own future. She was the subject of an arrangement between two men, one of whom was giving her away and the other receiving her. And the system told her this was protection. This was God's design. This was love. The result was a generation of young women who entered marriages without ever having learned to trust their own instincts, evaluate a partner independently, or recognize the difference between love and control. You're wondering why you're listening to these phone calls with Kendra Duggar on and like, what the hell is wrong with her? This is what's wrong with her, because this is how she's thinking. This is the mechanics of the brain. This is the mechanics of the IBLP in action. A husband's authority was love. Submission was respect. Obedience was faithfulness. If something felt wrong inside the marriage, the problem was your feelings, not the situation. You need to pray harder, submit more fully, and trust the structure. And then there were the rules. That would be almost absurd if they hadn't been enforced with the weight of spiritual terror. Cabbage Patch Kids. Cabbage Patch Kids. Remember them? Cabbage Patch Kids were banned because they were considered idolatrous. Reportedly because a warlock had created them. Syncopated music, including Christian rock, was declared to be the opposite of what God desires. God doesn't like Michael W. Smith. I guess not, according to the ILBP. Or Jars of Clay. These are the only like Christian artists I can think of from the 90s that had like a crossover hit or two. And those damn Cabbage Patch Dolls. I mean, I'm going to guess somewhere along the line, maybe Bill or somebody, I don't know, at the IBLP had some sort of impure feelings towards a doll. And then somebody's like, maybe we shouldn't allow the kids to have these because it looks, what the hell is this gunk? What did you do with this doll? Why is it all filled? Is this Elmer's glue over this doll? What the fuck is going on back there, Bill? No more Cabbage Patch. Television is off limits too. Most books written outside the IBLP ecosystem are considered spiritually dangerous. Board games are replaced with IBLP-created alternatives where children didn't go to jail. They went to the venomous pit of bitterness or the torture pit of temporal values. These are real things. Play Monopoly or the IBLP. I would love to get an IBLP version of Monopoly. Go to jail or get out of the torturous pit of temporal values free card. These weren't quirky household preferences. They were enforced boundaries backed by theological threat designed to eliminate any input that might cause a child to think independently or question the system. You get real bright bulbs when you raise them this way, don't you? Don't you, Michelle and Jim Bob? Your kids seem like they're the smartest bunch of little fuckers to ever come out of Northwest Arkansas. Well, the ones that escaped did, but even them, they're having to work on it. They're having to assimilate into society with the years that you stole from them. Every rule, no matter how granular or seemingly arbitrary, serve the same structural purpose, total environmental control. If you eliminate secular media, outside friendships, independent education, and unmonitored social interaction, you create a closed informational ecosystem where the only available framework for understanding the world is the one provided by the organization. Inside that framework, the organization is always right, the outside world is always dangerous and wrong, and leaving is always catastrophic. It's not brainwashing in the dramatic Hollywood sense. It's something quieter and more insidious and effective. It's the slow construction of a reality in which alternatives don't exist. If the only science you've learned comes through biblical interpretation, you don't reject evolution. You've never encountered it on its own terms. If the only relationships you've had are inside the system, you don't miss outside friendships. You've never experienced what genuine, uncurated connection feels like. The control doesn't feel like control because there's nothing to compare it to. It feels like reality. It feels like truth. IBLP's published literature on S abuse and assault is where the doctrine reveals its most dangerous application. Recovering Grace published a detailed survey of IBLP materials on this subject. What they found was a systematic erasure of the concept of victimhood. In IBLP's framework, there is no blameless victim. If abuse occurred, the question was always what the person who was harmed did to contribute to the situation. What they were wearing, how they were positioned under the umbrella, whether they had unconfessed sins that created a spiritual opening. The literature didn't just fail to protect survivors, it actively reframed their experience as evidence of their own spiritual failure. And it ensured the reporting abuse felt like confessing a sin rather than seeking justice. This is a mechanism that turned IBLP from a strict belief system into what survivors describe as a machine for producing silence, or as we call it, a cult. When a girl is taught from birth that her body is an eye trap, that her primary value is her purity, that her father holds God-given authority over her, that questioning authority is inviting Satan's direct attack, and that if something bad happens to her, it's because she stepped out of alignment, she does not report abuse. She cannot. The doctrine has already told her it was her fault before she opens her mouth. And if she does speak up as a young woman, as a young woman did with her pastor, the system confirms exactly what she feared. You weren't submissive enough. Go back under your umbrella. Pray harder. The system is never the problem. You are. Consider Anna Duggar. Her story is one of the most publicly visible illustrations of what this doctrine produces at its endpoint. She married Josh Duggar through the IBLP courtship system. She stood by him through the revelation that he had minors. She stood by him through his federal conviction. She relocated to be near the prison where he's serving his sentence. She has maintained his innocence. The instinct from outside the system is to ask why she would stay. But the question misses the point entirely. Anna Duggar was never given the tools to leave. In the IBLP framework, divorce is not just discouraged, it's framed as spiritual catastrophe, regardless of the circumstances. A woman's faithfulness is measured by her willingness to endure. Staying is obedience, leaving is rebellion. And rebellion puts you outside the umbrella, exposed to everything the system promised to protect you from. The doctrine didn't give you a choice, it gave you a cage and called it protection. Multiple evangelical scholars, apologetic organizations, and former members have publicly described IBLP's teaching as extra-biblical, legalistic, and in some cases, heretical. The criticism isn't coming from the secular world. It's coming from within the faith community, from people who study Scripture for a living and say that Gothard's interpretations distort the text to such severe limits. That it is no longer God's word. The teachings were written by one man, but they were absorbed by families who genuinely believed they were protecting their children. That's the part that makes us hard to sit with. The parents who followed Gothard weren't all monsters. I would say some were. Many of them were frightened, well-intentioned people who wanted a roadmap for raising kids in a world that felt chaotic and morally unmoored. Gothard offered certainty. He offered structure. He offered protection. And he packaged it so that rejecting any piece of it felt like rejecting God himself. The umbrella didn't just trap the people under it, it trapped the people holding it too. And the rain it promised to keep out was already falling inside. Your thoughts, your feedback, your experiences. In the comment section on Substack and YouTube. This is part two. Part three is up next. We're going to take a closer look at what being raised inside that machine is like. The homeschool system, the training centers, what it did to the children who grew up inside ATI and IBLP. Press subscribe so you don't miss it. And if you got a story to tell, tell us in the comment section. We'd love to hear it. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hear that? That's the sound of your skin silently crying out for hydration. Luckily, Dr. Teals has just the thing to get you glowing in no time. Meet Dr. Teal's Skin Renewal Deep Hydration, made with a proprietary triple magnesium complex plus skincare actives for 50% improved skin hydration after just one bath. The words dry and dehydrated are about to be wiped from your vocabulary. Find Dr. Teals, all dressed in blue, in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teals. Yep, you needed that.
I started my first business when I was 12, mowing lawns for about $5 a yard. I learned if you do the job right, people trust you and customers care that you show up and do what you say you're going to do. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Doors. From garage door repairs to upgrades, we show up, we stand behind every job. We only use the best parts and springs guaranteed to last a lifetime. When you care about the people you serve, you work harder and it shows. Call Don's Garage Doors today or schedule online at donsgaragedoors.com.
When it comes to garage doors, no one knows more.
Hear that? That's the sound of your skin silently crying out for hydration. Luckily, Dr. Teals has just the thing to get you glowing in no time. Meet Dr. Teals Skin Renewal Deep Hydration, made with a proprietary triple magnesium complex plus skincare actives for 50% improved skin hydration after just one bath. The words dry and dehydrated are about to be wiped from your vocabulary. Find Dr. Teals, all dressed in blue, in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teals. Yep. You needed that.
I started my first business when I was 12, mowing lawns for about $5 a yard. I learned if you do the job right, people trust you and customers care that you show up and do what you say you're going to do. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Doors. From garage door repairs to upgrades, we show up, we stand behind every job. We only use the best parts and springs guaranteed to last a lifetime. When you care about the people you serve, you work harder and it shows. Call Don's Garage Doors today or schedule online at donsgaragedoors.com.
When it comes to garage doors, no one knows more.
Get a full body reset anywhere you go with Dr. Teals Magnesium Spray. It's a concentrated magnesium blend of pure Epsom and Dead Sea salts, all bundled up in a convenient on-the-go bottle. A few quick sprays will relax your body and mind and keep you feeling recharged all day long. It's wellness you can feel, and you can find it in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teals. Yep, you needed that.
A noisy garage door is a cry for help. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Door Service. Most repairs are simple, but if left untreated, they can turn into costly repairs. Your garage door works hard every day, and a little maintenance goes a long way. We fix garage doors fast with quality parts designed to last a lifetime. Over 90,000 five-star reviews don't happen by accident. They happen by putting people first. Fixing your garage doors is what we do. From repairs to upgrades, call Don's Garage Door Service today.
Get a full body reset anywhere you go with Dr. Teals Magnesium Spray. It's a concentrated magnesium blend of pure Epsom and Dead Sea salts, all bundled up in a convenient on-the-go bottle. A few quick sprays will relax your body and mind and keep you feeling recharged all day long. It's wellness you can feel, and you can find it in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teals. Yep, you needed that.
I started my first business when I was 12, mowing lawns for about $5 a yard. I learned if you do the job right, people trust you and customers care that you show up and do what you say you're going to do. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Doors. From garage door repairs to upgrades, we show up, we stand behind every job. We only use the best parts and springs guaranteed to last a lifetime. When you care about the people you serve, you work harder and it shows. Call Don's Garage Doors today or schedule online at donsgaragedoors.com.
When it comes to garage doors, no one knows more.
Get a full body reset anywhere you go with Dr. Teals Magnesium Spray. It's a concentrated magnesium blend of pure Epsom and Dead Sea salts, all bundled up in a convenient on-the-go bottle. A few quick sprays will relax your body and mind and keep you feeling recharged all day long. It's wellness you can feel, and you can find it in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teals. Yep, you needed that.
A noisy garage door is a cry for help. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Door Service. Most repairs are simple, but if left untreated, they can turn into costly repairs. Your garage door works hard every day, and a little maintenance goes a long way. We fix garage doors fast with quality parts designed to last a lifetime. Over 90,000 five-star reviews don't happen by accident. They happen by putting people first. Fixing your garage doors is what we do. From repairs to upgrades, call Don's Garage Door Service today.
Hear that? That's the sound of your skin silently crying out for hydration. Luckily, Dr. Teals has just the thing to get you glowing in no time. Meet Dr. Teals Skin Renewal Deep Hydration, made with a proprietary triple magnesium complex plus skincare actives for 50% improved skin hydration after just one bath. The words dry and dehydrated are about to be wiped from your vocabulary. Find Dr. Teals, all dressed in blue, in your local bath aisle. Dr. Teals. Yep, you needed that.
I started my first business when I was 12, mowing lawns for about $5 a yard. I learned if you do the job right, people trust you and customers care that you show up and do what you say you're going to do. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Doors. From garage door repairs to upgrades, we show up, we stand behind every job. We only use the best parts and springs guaranteed to last a lifetime. When you care about the people you serve, you work harder and it shows. Call Don's Garage Doors today or schedule online at donsgaragedoors.com.
When it comes to garage doors, no one knows more.
Struggling to see up close? Make it visible with Viz. Viz is a once daily prescription eye drop to treat blurry near vision for up to 10 hours. The most common side effects that may be experienced while using Viz include eye irritation, temporary dim or dark vision, headaches, and eye redness. Talk to an eye doctor to learn if Viz is right for you. Learn more at Viz.com.
For many men, mental health challenges aren't recognized until they've already taken a toll. Work pressure, financial stress, changing relationships, and traditional expectations around masculinity can quietly wear men down, often without clear warning signs. In Season 3 of The Visibility Gap, Dr. Guy Winch and his guests explore how these pressures show up, how to spot them earlier, and how men can access meaningful support. Listen to the new season of The Visibility Gap, a podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare.